There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart, and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. We're down to just a little over a week until there's a new family member of this radio show family. A small chocolate lab puppy, just barely 6 weeks old. Last report, every puppy in the litter is fat and chatty. Quote, unquote. I said, how are the puppies doing? And they said, they're fat and chatty. That's kind of the Christmas spirit, isn't it? Being fat and chatty. Good evening, everybody. Today's date is the 15th of December, 2015. It's a little bit after 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. We've got email. We've got texting. We'll tell you how to do that. You can email or text the show by going to the contacts page on the show's website, www.TheAbidingPresence.com. We throw words around on this show. Actually, you just throw words around in your life, like pay attention, listen to what I'm saying, look what's going on, learn it. You hear me, but you're not listening. Pay attention, focus, concentrate. And they really all kind of mean the same thing, which is set everything aside and literally forget about it. Take it out of your mind. Don't worry about it. Don't be concerned about it. And literally give 100% of your thought and your reality to something. Now, a lot of times if someone's talking on the phone, they want everybody to be quiet, turn the TV down, because they can't hear that person. So they're trying to divert all their energy and efforts into who they're listening to on a telephone. One of the reasons why most of the 50 states in the United States of America either have laws or are enacting laws that say that cellular telephones, some you have to have hands free, or on your steering wheel. Or here in Oklahoma, in November of this year, they made it against the law to text message with your portable cellular phones while you're driving. Why? Because of accidents. You're being distracted. Everybody likes to feel like they can multitask, that you can watch TV and eat a meal, read a book, listen to music, talk to somebody while you're texting, which is, I hate that. I think it's so rude. When I'm trying to have a conversation with somebody and they're reading their stupid cellular phone, I just stop talking and say, never mind. And so when somebody says you need to focus, you need to pay attention, set things aside, make this the center of your world, disregard everything else, by the time somebody is 10 or 14 years of age, everybody knows what that means. Now, something to consider on tonight's show is, how innocent are you? How much attention, time, energy, effort, focus do you really put on a relationship with the guys? Now, I'm not talking about whether you believe or not, or whether you've been saved or baptized, or how many of those little religious services where you had to drink that nasty, stale, warm grape juice and a cookie with no flavor or no filling inside. But I'm talking about actually energy and time spent with a clear mind and an open heart. Have you given to Christ? Because it has nothing to do with being in a large room with a bunch of people singing songs and holding hands and shoveling out money in a basket or brass pan. Remember, Scripture clearly states, when you pray, go in your room, close the door, and when you speak to your Father, He will answer you in private. Does that not say something? How important that message is? Look what Moses had to do. You know, the bushes didn't burn in his front or backyard, did they? No, he had to go to a mountaintop alone. And when he wanted more information and more enlightenment, he didn't say, come on, throw all the kids in the car. My brother, you bring your family too. We're going to go camping in the mountains and I'm going to introduce you to somebody. No, it was just the opposite. He literally turned his back on his whole entire world, professionally and personally, and said, brother, take care of everything. I'm gone. I'll see you when I see you. So tonight we're going to talk about what is attention, focus, concentration, as it pertains to a spiritual relationship with Christ. It isn't so much about what people are spending time on, Jim. It's more about what people aren't spending time on, because people are always, it's real easy for someone to say, well, just focus, just concentrate. Put everything else out of your mind. But that's really not the issue. The issue is what we think is important or what we think we can't do. We'll say, well, I don't know how to focus. I don't know how to concentrate. Well, that's just not true. Everybody that listens to this show, everybody who doesn't listen to this show, everybody who's never even heard of this show,
right?
Anybody who hates this show knows how to focus because they're focused on something.
On something, yep.
Unless they're hooked to a bunch of machines in intensive care and a doctor says, well, they're a vegetable, there's no brain waves, we're just keeping them alive with machines. Otherwise, everybody has focus.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus made a comment over in Matthew chapter 6. And the Message Bible does, I think, the best job of describing it. He said, where your heart is where your treasure will be. Or where your treasure is where your heart will be also. And the Message Bible says, where your treasure is where you will most want to be and find yourself being. So really, when you think of it, everybody has a degree of focus and attention. Everybody is connected at some particular point in the day to something, like BJ made a comment about. It's just, what are you connected to? And is it possible? This is where the questions come in that really help us. Is it possible that we could literally be focused on or in connection with God at all times throughout the course of our day? And could that connection grow if we were? Could we become good at being connected to God, having focus become the norm for the way that we see God, feel God, we express God, we have feelings and emotions about God? Could this be what becomes our reality? And could it grow to the point where God himself becomes extremely real to us and his voice is no longer something that we hope we've heard, we imagine that we've heard, that we'd like to hear? It becomes a daily part of our routine. We're experiencing God, we're focused on God, we're enjoying his presence, and we're beginning to grow in that intensity or grow in that relationship. I think this is really, really good as we get into some of these thoughts here tonight. Folks, I want you to open your hearts, if you would, please, and just allow yourself to look at yourself really accurately. I know that's hard. It's hard for every single one of us. BJ wouldn't have a problem saying that about himself. I don't have a problem saying about that about myself. But it's because we've actually done some of that and continue to allow ourselves the leeway to do more of it that we're actually gaining ground. To open up your heart, see yourself as you really are, that's where the questions come, and that's where you can begin to make some real good decisions and choices. I'm looking forward to some of the dialogue that we're going to get into. Let me say while BJ's taking care of a response here to an email. You know, when he talked about Moses, think about that for just a moment. Moses, like he said, it wasn't just in his backyard. He had to actually make a concentrated effort to go to where the bush was. But even think even further. When he finally was up on the mountain, the Bible says Moses now turned aside to see why the bush burned but was not consumed. Look at what it means. He began to ask questions. Why is this happening? How can it happen? I wonder what this is. I need to find this out. And so those questions became for him like doing a mathematic problem comes for all of us. We began to put it together, and the two and two that we began to put together brought us closer to the experience with God himself. So I think there's a lot in that story, even about Moses, that pertains to the kind of focus that we're talking about on the show tonight. Let me look over here at Romans and chapter 4. I think this is actually, for me personally, it kind of describes everything that we're actually heading towards or want to head towards. And it looks over in Romans chapter 4, and I'm going to start here, verse 18. This is the Message Bible. It says, about Abraham, when everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. Deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on the basis of what God said he would do. And so he was made the father of a multitude of people. God himself said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. Verse 19, Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child, nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he said. And that's why it is said Abraham was declared fit before God by trusting God to set him right. Those are some pretty good stories right there. And notice it highlights what we're talking about tonight. Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence. It would have been real easy And this is, folks, now where I'm going to get into some of the things that I've been hearing and I've been talking with individuals about as I've been traveling up in the States there in Connecticut, where I went to about four different churches, had a really wonderful time, some great people up there. You hear some of these comments constantly, and it has to do with where people have put their attention, where their feelings go, where their emotions lie. Just like we shared earlier about some of the thoughts with where your treasure is where your heart will be also. Notice it said right here, Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence. So see, you're always going to have an opportunity to focus on something. And whether you know it or not, if you're not focusing on God, you are focusing on something else. So a comment that BJ made earlier that I thought was really, really good, and that was because we're going to get into a relationship with God here tonight, some things that we discussed before the show about how normal it should be, how casual it should be. It doesn't have to be super formal, and very rarely is. It's something that's for everyone all the time, for your everyday person. It's not for somebody that has to be well-schooled or have perfect grammar, somebody that's been, you know, they got some type of degree. This is something that's for everybody, and it's something that everybody can have. So when I look at this, I see Abraham wasn't focused on his own impotence, and he wasn't focused on what Sarah couldn't do and how her body couldn't conceive. He was focused on what God said and who God was. Did I tell you the story? And I know I have, and I want to just share this real quickly here for a second. And this is pretty cool because, to me, this is how God just does all kinds of really fun things with you as you begin to really open up your heart to a connection. But it was probably about a year ago, I put in my Bible program the word fasting. And what came up out of Vines, which is Vine's Expository Dictionary, what came up was the word believe. So I put it in again. In fact, I put it in two more times. And two more times, I put the word fasting in, clicked OK, and what came up was believe. Very interesting. I thought to myself, well, I'm getting nowhere. So I immediately acknowledged that it was the Lord. I said, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do? I guess you want me to look at the word believe. And when I read it, it was talking about this instance here with Abraham. And it said, Abraham didn't believe in just the words that God said. And then it went on to say he didn't have an impersonal relationship with God's words. He had a personal relationship with God himself. So when it says Abraham focused on words, Abraham was focused on God. In other words, the relationship was real. And this is the part that actually makes it, I'm not going to say special, but it makes it very normal and very real for everybody to have. So I'll go on a little further to say, what I've sensed and what I've found with individuals when I've been on the road, people were making having a relationship with God way too difficult. And here's what I find. You can share things about how simple it is and how all throughout the day you can find God in the simplest of little things. But the amount of people that actually do that or apply themselves are very few and far between. And this is very concerning. Concerning because it really is indicative of the times that we're living in. People are not focused in the time that we're living in. Look at one of the things that so many of the kids are prescribed or doctors give them a prognosis of, and that is the ADHD, attention deficit disorder. Well, folks, think about this. Years ago, we didn't have those kind of diseases. People, if they had a lack of attention when I was growing up, my dad would make me go out and play some more sports. My dad would give me something to do. You weren't allowed to just have some type of deficiency where you couldn't focus. That wasn't a part of our day. Today, this is what people subscribe to. And the more we subscribe to it, it's just like those news, those magazines that you get. If you get magazines every single week, it's because you've subscribed to them. If you get them every single month, it's because you've subscribed to them. People are subscribing to all kinds of things today that have nothing to do whatsoever with who you are as a Christian or a spiritual being connected to God. This is a part of wrong focus.
Okay, folks, we got emails to read. We've got a lot of mail. We got some really interesting mail at the P.O. Box I went to the day, so we're going to talk about that later on the show. If you want to email the show, it's easy. It's the name of the show, The Abiding Presence. All one word, no capital letters, no spaces. The Abiding Presence at the letter G, gmail.com. The Abiding Presence at gmail.com. If you'd like to send a text message, the way you send a text message is the first word that you have to type is Ranger. My dog Ranger, who's with the guys, R-A-N-G-E-R, Ranger. Then you type your message, and when you press the send button, there's no one, there's no area code. It isn't even a phone number. It's just a five-digit number, 9930. That's 99000. So if you want to text the show or email the show, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to say hello to another listener or family member, that's great. We like those. Comments, questions, concerns, praise, criticisms, the show is yours. That's why we do it. And so we want you to participate with lots of emails and lots of texting. Speaking of emails, we had an email that came in 7 days ago. It says, "Hi, BJ and Jim, once you acknowledge failure and make the decision to make different choices, what are other things can we engage in to have tangibility in our relationship with God? Jim, you mentioned starting to recognize, acknowledge God in even the smallest of things. What are some other things that can help us to turn towards grace? Thank you." This is from Venetia and Deco, her dog Deco.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, first of all, Venetia, how much of what we shared with these little things have you begun to participate with? Because it's pretty never-ending. And if you really think about it, acknowledging God in the smallest of little things is inviting God to be a part of your day. And that's where your focus begins. That's where this attention we're talking about begins. Because the more attention you give to God, the easier it is to find God, and the more real he becomes. So when I say, you know, when I'm hearing you quote back what we started with or said, it's because that's what Jesus did. He gave us something so simple as a means of making a connection with himself that it really makes it very, very important that you begin to do that on a regular basis. I will say this. If you would read over in Job chapter 39, 40, and 41, that would be a real good way to amplify what we've said there with Jesus' ministry in Matthew 6 when he talked about the birds and he talked about the flowers.
Okay, we got a photograph, a Christmas scene. Okay, let me describe this for you. It's a barn. It's an older barn. It's painted red. There's a horse looking out of the stall into the alleyway, and at the end of the barn, towards the outside, the threshold, the big door, there's a bunch of hay on the ground, and then there's a nativity scene. There's a nice big plastic star hanging down about the same height off the ground as the horse's head. The horse is looking at a bunch of dogs. It's a bunch of dogs made up in costumes for the nativity scene. There's a very small little lap dog as baby Jesus. And then there's a couple of large hound dogs on either side. And then the three kings are wearing crowns. And It's two white and one black lab. And then there's a couple large guard dog type of dogs that are dressed in blankets and Arabian-looking headgear. So it's a Christmas nativity scene brought to us by one of our regular listeners, and I'll give you just three guesses who sent this photo in. That's right, everybody. Rumor has it somewhere in Morgan Hill, California, somewhere between Morgan Hill, Southeast San Jose, and Gilroy, California, is an older couple riding a three-wheeled Harley motorcycle tricycle type machine and dressed up as Santa and one of his little elves. So Grandma and Grandpa, outlaw bikers, have the Christmas spirit in Morgan Hill, California. We got another email that came in just 20 minutes ago. It said, just finished listening again to last week's half of a show. I'm obviously joking, referring to the quick shutdown at the end. Really enjoyed and thought it was an amazing topic that you guys have hit before, but it really resonated this week. One of the things you guys hit on was the waning expectation level that we have as a culture of God and our level of demand. The example of Jehoshaphat was perfect. Love to hear you guys talk at some point tonight about how today's society is pointed 180 degrees away from a relationship with God. Everything is set up for you to not be connected, and from birth, you are not encouraged in that direction. Quite honestly, not even in the churches. And this is from Breakfast Ed. Jim, you want to comment on what he said?
Oh, I like what Breakfast Ed says. He has good comments. I mean, I don't really know too much more what to say. You know, as far as the whole world being against what we're a relationship with God, that's kind of, in a sense, what we're talking about tonight. I mean, I looked up the word focus, and it's very interesting when you put that together, even with what Breakfast Ed said. The center of interest or activity, the act of concentrating interests or activity on something or someone. So when you look at that, you just think everything about the world is concentrating their interests and their activity on anything and other than God, other than Christ.
A lot of times people get very frustrated when someone says, just concentrate. Would you just pay attention? Just focus. And if you say it enough to somebody and they're really not understanding or learning or seeing or picking up on what you're trying to show them or give them an example of, they get frustrated. And they say, I am. But most times we're really not. There's something all the time. Whenever somebody says, hey, what are you thinking about? Oh, I'm not thinking about nothing. Well, that's not true. That'd mean that you were unconscious and you were brain dead. The human mind is always going. It's like a perpetual sailboat that never runs out of a breeze. It's always being pushed and maneuvered and manipulated into doing something. We always have thoughts going through our mind. When we sleep, we have dreams. We just don't remember them. But we have one dream after another. The human mind is a very busy mind. So when someone says, what are you thinking about? Or you ask somebody, what are you thinking about? And they say, oh, nothing. That's really not true. For whatever reason, they just would rather say nothing. So when somebody says, well, if you want a relationship with Christ, you need to focus. If you want to have a conversation with Jesus, you need to concentrate. If you want to see grace and experience grace, you must really, really pay attention and see it everywhere. That sounds really easy, but it's not simple. Or it's simple, but it's not easy, however you want to put it. Because our minds are always thinking about something. You know, if we had a little television screen mounted on top of our heads, you'd be amazed what people were thinking and doing, what they were doing, driving, eating, going to the bathroom, taking a shower, watching TV, reading a book, sitting in a large building, listening to somebody pontificate from a pedestal, talk about damnation and salvation. So to really open your mind and your heart, to truly repent and change directions so that you can pick up on something. We know how to do that because we're always focused.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. Our focus, our attention, our concentration, our energy, our priority is anything but Christ-like. It's anything but spiritual. It's of the world. It's of the flesh. And how could it not if you've got bills to pay and a job to go to and kids to get off to school you hurt? You haven't had a good night's sleep in years because you're just in so much pain. You're afraid that someone's going to leave you. Your family's going to be broken up. You're afraid you're going to lose your job. It's coming up on the 25th of December, and you're worried that there isn't even enough room on those plastic cards to have a decent Christmas under the tree. You're worried about your kids being disappointed, keeping up with the neighbors, holding on to your job, losing weight, gaining weight, looking younger. There are so many things that we are experts at focusing on. Folks, I am here to tell you this evening that all of us are professional athletes at concentration and focusing.
Right.
We just have been doing it on the wrong topics. So you have the skills, you have the ability. But do you have, I don't want to use the word desire because that almost would make you mad and insulting. Because if you didn't have a desire for a relationship with God, why in the name of good gravy would you listen to the two of us every week?
Sure.
So it isn't desire, but do you have need, a want? You know, they say there's no atheists in foxholes. In other words, you might not believe in God, but when the crap hits the fan, everybody is saying, please, God, please, or thank you, God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's something to be said about focus. So tonight it is about attention. It is about what do you think is real? What do you honestly believe in? What is important enough for you to change what you're thinking about? Jim, you have any comments or anything?
Yeah, well, I know I'm just thinking of a passage here because, you know, the thing that BJ is stressing is something that I've said a lot. And of course, you know, these things that I've said a lot for the last 3 or 4 years, I've gotten right out here on the ranch just as we've talked. But I've made this comment to folks, and it definitely hits home with them, that God made man to be connected with himself. So man was never meant to, in one sense, you could say, just be completely independent of any and everything. Man was made to be connected to God. He's a relational being. So if you're not connected to God, it's because you're connected to something else. If you're not seeing God, it's because you're seeing something else. If you're not feeling him, it's because you're feeling something else. If you're not getting answers to prayers from God, it's because you're getting answers to your thoughts and emotions and feelings to something else. So it's always going to be, you know, two-sided like that. And I look at a passage here because Jesus was all about the heart. He was all about helping people to locate themselves, to be real honest with you. And in verse 18 of Luke 18, it said, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. And he said, well, all these I've kept from my youth. Then when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Look at where his real focus was. In other words, he's having a conversation with Jesus, And if you were a bystander, would you have bought into everything that he said? Well, Jesus didn't, because he could see that there was something very deep within this guy that was the greatest focus. It was the greatest concern, something that was more real to him than what he was saying. And when Jesus brought it to his attention, isn't it interesting that he brought out all of his real feelings and his real emotions? Said the guy went away sorrowful because he was what? Real rich. He didn't want to part with what he had. So I think that goes right there along the lines of where our attentions are at.
Here we go, folks. We know what this means, don't we? If you listen with any regularity at all, thank you very much. Dogs barking Christmas means we have a Robin report. Okay, Robin is the name that I've chosen for the Chocolate Lab puppy that's going to be a new member of the show. We pick her up in a timely fashion on Christmas Eve. I'll be driving 6 hours northeast of Oklahoma into the state of Missouri. And we have pick of the litter. We, being everybody on the show, we have pick of the litter. And we'll be picking the number one female Chocolate Lab puppy out of the litter. And like I said at the beginning of the show, they say that the puppies are fat and chatty. And speaking of good cheer and Christmas, we've got a lot of mail that we need to talk about tonight. We've got some huge boxes with a lot of good snacks inside. And Jim, we just were flooded. We got envelopes here. We got a nice card. I want to make sure that we take the time to... Look, if someone takes the time to send us mail, we need to take the time and read their cards. It says, all so beautiful. The timing is perfect. Merry Christmas and a happy choosing. This is from Betty. It says, BJ, I want to let you know how happy I am to be a part of helping you to get Robin. I felt and admired your love for Ranger and miss her on the radio show, but look forward to hearing Robin in the near future. I have been listening to you and Jim for about 2 years now, and the openness and honesty of you both is most encouraging and uplifting. I am so glad Jim is coming back to Toronto. BJ, I just went to your Facebook page and saw the pictures of all the puppies. It brought tears to my eyes. I'm so happy for you. And so this is from Betty. So we want to thank Betty because she's helping us to get Robin. So thanks to Betty.
That's good. Yep.
Okay, then we got another card here that came from... I guess it's Rhode Island or Florida. I can't tell from their writing. It says, so sorry for your loss. They're talking about how we lost Ranger. I too have had dogs that I love, sometimes more than people. I know it is hard to lose them. I like to look at it like now my second best friend is with my first best friend. I truly am sorry for your loss. And this is from Beth. And I don't know where Beth is. She's either in Rhode Island or Florida, wherever zip code 61
okay.
something is. Then we got an envelope that had candy canes in it. And Jim, you got a CD. What's the CD that you got? It's a record in here.
Yeah, it's on Christmas songs.
Is it?
Yes.
And it's from Catherine. And then we got a card that says, candy cane card. That's why it says, hi, BJ. May you find God's sweet love at the heart of your Christmas. Please use this small gift toward bringing Robin into your family. May she bless your life the way Ranger did. This is from Catherine.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yep. So Catherine is helping us with Robin. A lot of people are sending little gifts to help Robin. They feel like the puppy is part of their family too. Now we have somebody sent a really nice picture folder of puppies, chocolate lab puppies, which is great. There's a letter inside that says, "Hi BJ, please accept this gift for your new puppy." And then it says, "Take some of the gift out of the amount so you and Jim can have pizza and wings or whatever you guys like before the show." Well, Jim bought wings tonight.
I didn't know that. See?
So, see, next time, well, you know what you like is a Chinese food. So we'll get some Chinese food courtesy of Diane from Toronto. And blessings,
Diane,
and grace. Yeah, so Diane's going to provide us with Chinese food and food to come. And she sent a whole thing, a different flavor. I didn't even know they made more than one flavor of Kit Kat candy bar.
I don't either.
But we got different flavors of Kit Kat candy bars. We've got all different kinds of candy in here. See, folks? Huge, big package from Diane. So that was really cool. Okay, then we got a box.
Yes.
And guess who the box is from? Stovetop Sue. Stovetop Sue is the daughter of the outlaw bikers, Grandma and Grandpa from Morgan Hill.
Right.
Okay, this is really cool. There's a package of tennis balls, obviously for Robin the puppy, and each tennis ball is a different color, so that's cool. And I'm excited about this. A huge bag of Kit Kat candy bars, and we've been dividing the candy up. A lot of these people are sending a lot of candy, and we've been splitting it up 50-50. We do that on the ranch. It doesn't necessarily happen other places. And there's a neat
card.
Did you have
something in your throat?
Well, I was just talking about sharing, people sharing candy.
Oh, okay.
And it says, "Do I smell birthday cake?" And there's a picture of a dog on it, and it says, "Happy birthday, BJ. Merry Christmas, Jim and BJ. And welcome, Robin. Love, Sue." And in parentheses, it says, AKA, that's otherwise known as Stovetop Sue. And Stovetop Sue included some help for Robin as well. So thank you very much. Right. And now we go to the biggest of boxes. The biggest of boxes actually came from like 15 miles away. In the town of Sepulpa, Oklahoma, from a listener. We've read her emails. Her name is Beverly. And there's a big bag of puffy Cheetos.
Right.
See, now I like puffy Cheetos because what I'll do is I will open this bag and stick it in the cupboard for about a week. And then they'll be stale.
Well, do that so that you're ready for your trip.
I will, because the whole purpose of this box from Beverly
is for your goodies
is snacks on the road trip, because it's 12. Well, actually, we'll talk about the road trip later on. There's a box of Rice Krispie Squares. There's some chocolates in here, Kit Kat candy bars, and we split that up. But also, the main thing that was in the box was what'd I do with it? Where's the blanket?
Oh, I don't know. I think you put it back there, didn't you?
Where's the blanket? Oh, it's in the box. It's the bottom of the box.
Okay.
Get the mic back. The reason the box was so big from Beverly is she put a nice little, like it's not a big blanket. It's like 30 by 40 inches. It's like a placemat. It's a real fuzzy, nice blanket that you would like put on a chair or a sofa for your puppy to lay on, for your dog, like a furniture protector, which is kind of cool. So these are the gifts, the envelopes and gifts, the P.O. box. We check it every week. There's a lot of people that really want to help and participate by sending envelopes to help out with Robin. The P.O. box address is on the radio show website. And if somebody wants the address, just send us an email or a text. We'll give it out later on in the show. So that's the official Robin report. Mm-hmm. We got our first text message. It says, fat and chatty might describe some of the listeners, too.
I do like that.
We got another email that just came in, and it says, BJ Jim, you don't need to read my name. It says, I would like very much to send something for the puppy pot.
That's nice.
At least she didn't say puppy poop.
Yeah.
For the puppy pot and some other goodies. Will you still be going to the P.O. Box in the next couple of weeks? I have some things to send, but I have been unable to until now. Sometimes it's hard for me to talk about a new puppy because I start thinking about my Ranger. She should be lying here next to me. What happened was is people know that I'm shopping for a puppy, and they've just been sending checks.
Yeah.
There's no other way to put it. They've just been putting envelopes in the mail, and it really doesn't matter, it's about the fact that somebody just says, well, I want to be part of the puppy. I want to help the puppy. I want to help find a puppy for the ranch and stuff. And so on that note, I've been checking the P.O. box twice a week, and especially Tuesdays. I actually talked to you can't believe the line at the post office. No wonder I don't like going to the post office.
Right.
There was 17 people in line today at the post office, and they only had one person working the counter. And another person came up and started working the counter, and the other person left. And I just said, does anybody else think this is wrong? And everybody just looked at me like, oh my gosh, you can't speak up. And I said, and the guy behind the counter, he says, well, sir, I'm doing the best I can. I says, I understand this. And I says, don't you people realize this is the United States Post Office? Your tax dollars are paying for this building. I says, why doesn't anybody speak up and say, I don't think my tax dollars are servicing me very well.
Right.
And all of a sudden, this older lady just says, you're right, son, you're right. Uh-huh. We need somebody else up here. And then somebody else says, well, that's true. It is a public-owned thing. You know, there's our tax dollars. Well, guess what? All of a sudden, there was three windows open.
Right.
And I got up there, and it was the postmaster, and I didn't know he's a postmaster, but I've seen him around town, and he says, it's much better, BJ, when you just don't come at all. True story. That happened today. He says, it's much better when you just let your P.O. box overflow and you don't come at all. So I'm checking the P.O. box twice a week. And I really do try to check it before a show on Tuesdays. And so if you want to send an envelope for the puppy pot.
you know, I can't help but I wish I was there to be a part of that. That would have been great. But
well, you know me.
I can picture it totally. And folks, just for a second, I mean, you had to enjoy that story, hopefully as much as I did, just because of knowing BJ. But also, let me say this. Everything, I was talking to somebody today, and we were talking about this. And, you know, he was sharing some things about just some issues and things that are going on in his life and some of the people that he's connected to and the difficulty that he's having. And he's been coming to the Wednesday nights and listening in to some of the things that we're sharing. And he's beginning to see as well, if people just really don't want to know who they are because they don't want to have to address it, they bury it. And we have such an amazing ability as human beings to bury whatever we don't want surfaced, what we just don't want to deal with. And it goes even to the whole post office deal that we've been trained. Holy smokes, think about it. We've been so trained in life to never speak up, to just stand in a soup kitchen line if things got bad. If there were 1,000 people in that line and never question, how come we're in the line? Why is this going the way that it's going? How come there isn't something better for us? What's going on? We're American citizens, let alone think about the church. Why don't people ask those kind of questions? Hey, wait a minute. You know, we've been tithing and giving into the things of God, and this is what we're getting, and no one's getting any results, and no one has a question as to why not. Shouldn't we be seeing something? Shouldn't we all be experiencing something? I think it's just very, very interesting, and the reason why I like bringing it up is because, again, everyone that experiences God, there are reasons why they do. It's not just that someone's special. It's because the way that they see life, the choices they've made, what's real to them either is really good and it goes with God, or it's not good and it goes against God. Any other emails that we have, BJ?
Nope, we're good. We've only had a couple of emails and we've only had a couple of texts. So hopefully we'll have more texts, more emails. I would like to know, I'd like to know what people think about tonight's subject matter, what we're talking
and
about.
How it's coming across. Yeah.
Yeah. We got an email that just literally popped up. Hi, Jim, BJ, and all the listeners, my parents and I are listening in Morgan Hill, California. Stovetop Sue.
Oh, that's nice.
She lives around Tracy. And so Tracy to Morgan Hill is probably, what would that be, an hour? Maybe an hour. I'm trying to remember. Because, see, I haven't been in the San Francisco Bay Area in, oh my gosh. How long has it been since I've been in the San Francisco Bay Area? Let's see, college, after college. Well, I know exactly when it was. Last time I was in the San Francisco Bay Area was 1991. So 91, 2001, 2011, what is that? 24 years? 24, 25 years? I did find out that my favorite restaurant is no longer open.
Is that right? That one you told me about that you'd go and order three different meals and take them home?
No, that was in San Francisco.
Oh, that's San Francisco. That's right.
No, that's a restaurant. It's probably still there. It was called Alioto's 8. It was on Fisherman's Wharf with boats and walruses and seals. But one of my favorite restaurants was in a town called Sunnyvale, California.
Hmm.
And it was off of the El Camino Real. And they had taken about a half a dozen box cars, you know, train cars. And they had put them together and made rooms out of them with booths.
Hmm.
And it was called Victoria Station. And the premise was kind of an English train station kind of thing.
Right.
And they had the best prime rib.
It was
really cool.
That's nice.
The booths were kind of small because, you know, box cars.
Right, right.
But yeah, it was called Victoria Station. And then my other place to go for supper, my other favorite restaurant was a place called Farrell's Ice Cream Parlor. They had food, but they also had this big bowl of ice cream called the Zoo. And it was tremendous. It was like 60, 80 scoops of different flavors of ice cream.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'd be really hungry on a hot summer day.
Yeah.
And I would order a Zoo. And the thing about the Zoo was they carried it on a stretcher with like a police siren. And they'd run all through the restaurant, you know, because the Zoo was like a big deal.
Right.
And then people would wonder, where's this guy's party at? And they would feel sorry for him because they'd say, oh, my God, this guy ordered the giant Zoo party Sunday and he's by himself. And they never realizes I wouldn't have it any other way. Because I didn't want to share the ice cream.
Is that where you'd eat so much and then go throw up so you could go eat more?
No, that was Marie Callender's pies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'd eat a pie, throw up, go eat another pie if I was really...
Oh, my gosh.
It was a Marie Callender's in San Jose on Winchester Boulevard across from the Winchester Mystery House and the Century Theaters, which are probably gone.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably... All this stuff I mentioned is
70s?
Probably gone.
Is it back in the 70s?
Well, 70s, 80s, 90s. It's probably all gone. Yeah. It's probably all gone. But yeah, I'd come down in the valley because I lived up in the hills above the smog.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, above the song on Skyline Boulevard between Saratoga, Los Gatos, and Palo Alto. But thinking of, see now, think about this. We all have our own stories that we can recall from our past. Favorite memories of days gone by. So that shows that we can remember things that are important, things that we like. Well, I had to focus to do that. And the more I talked, the more I focused, the more pictures came in my mind. It's the same with the relationship with the guys.
Yeah.
You know, 2,000 years of misinformation, manipulation by religious organizations, kings, queens, monarchs, and presidents, and people with hidden agendas that wanted to get rich, the message of Christ has been distorted beyond belief.
Right.
It's like starting off with a giant 1-pound hot pretzel, and 2,000 years later, you got a ping pong paddle. That's how much the distortion and change there is. It is not supposed to be special to be talking with the guys.
Right, right.
Does that make sense? Are you supposed to make an appointment where, okay, let's give you an example that you can relate to. Right now, Stovetop Sue has driven about an hour or so south from Tracy, California to Morgan Hill, California to be with her outlaw biker parents, Grandma and Grandpa, who you just heard taken off on their Harley trike a little bit ago on the show. What if she had to call? What if they says, well, you know, honey, we'd like to see you, but you can only come and see us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for 45 minutes. And remember, it's special that we're going to spend time with you. So you make sure that you wear your best, come to your parents' house clothes. And remember, be on your best behavior, watch what you say, and remember how important and special this is to come see us. That doesn't sound like a family, does it?
Mm-mm.
Sounds like a business. And everywhere in Scripture it talks about we're His children, made in His own image. Ask and you shall receive. He loves us so much unconditionally, and Jesus' blood paid for all of our sins. Does that sound like something really fancy and official? No. It sounds like, hey, if you happen to be in the neighborhood, no matter what time it is, come on in. You're welcome. You're family.
Right.
It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, what you're wearing, whether you've bathed or not, your socks match or your underwear clean. We're just happy you're here.
Yeah.
So think about your focusing and your paying attention to what you do in life.
Yeah.
And see how casual and how friendly and open a relationship with Christ is. And how don't be intimidated or don't think that you can't focus enough.
Right.
That you're not worthy enough to pay attention. That the information is secret, you're going to burn in hell, and you're just never going to figure it out. Because that's exactly what negative energy the devil wants you to do.
I have a really good story here, everyone, that I think if we relate it to what our topic is, I think it'll really speak to us. It's over here in Luke 24. And in verse 13, it's talking about a couple of men that after Jesus had been crucified and he rose again and the word got out about what took place, they were on the Emmaus Road, in other words, the village of Emmaus, and they were outside of Jerusalem by about 7 miles, and they were having a conversation as they were walking towards Jerusalem. It says, the same day, two of them were walking, or they were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, were walking to the village Emmaus, about 7 miles out of Jerusalem. They were deep in conversation, so pay attention to the words it says here, deep in conversation. They were focused. Going over all these things that had happened. And the things they're talking about Jesus dying, being raised again, coming out of the grave. It goes on to say, in the middle of their talk and questions, so I'm sorry for stopping every 5 seconds, but think about what they're saying here. They're asking themselves questions. They're talking about it. They're figuring out the problem. Jesus came and walked along with them, but they were not able to recognize who he was. So I love this. There's a progression here, everyone. You're wanting to know about this connection, about the focus, the attention, about experiencing God in a greater degree. Well, look at where it starts. It starts right here where people are asking questions, where there's a deep conversation, where they're talking about Jesus, and notice what takes place. Jesus is walking right along with him. That's why the Lord said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age, so that you would begin to go from knowing he's there to experiencing the fact that he is. Verse 17 says, and he asked, Jesus said, what's this you're discussing so intently as you walk along? They just stood there, long-faced, like they had lost their best friend. Then one of them, his name is Cleophas, said, are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what's happening during the last few days? And Jesus said, what has happened? They said, the things that happened to Jesus of Nazareth. He was a man of God, a prophet, dynamic in work and word, blessed by both God and all people. Then our high priests and leaders betrayed him, got him sentenced to death, and crucified him. And we had our hopes up that he was the one about to deliver Israel. And it is now the third day since it happened, but now some of our women have completely confused us. Early this morning they were at the tomb and couldn't find his body. They came back with the story that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of our friends went off to the tomb to check and found it empty, just as the women said, but they didn't see Jesus. Then he said to them, so thick-headed, so slow-hearted, why can't you simply believe all that the prophets said? Do you see that the things had to happen, that the Messiah had to suffer and only then enter into his glory? Then he started at the beginning with the book of Moses and went on through all the prophets, pointing out everything in the scriptures that referred to him. They came to the edge of the village where they were headed. He acted as if he were going on, but they pressed him, stay and have supper with us. It's nearly evening. The day is done. So we went in with them, and here is what happened. He sat down at the table with them. Taking the bread, he blessed it and broke and gave it to him. And at that moment, their eyes opened, wide-eyed. They recognized him, and then he disappeared. Back and forth they talked. Didn't we feel on fire as he conversed with us on the road, as he opened up the scriptures for us? And it goes on to say they didn't waste any time, went back to Jerusalem, found the 11, and then that were gathered together and told them about this. Folks, look at the progression of this. From the side of Jesus, it's the same for all of us. He's there. He's wanting to talk with us. He's wanting to open our eyes. He's wanting us to see him, not just know that he's there and know about him. But from their perspective, their questioning, their intent, they want to find him. The next thing you know, Jesus is there. Their eyes are beginning to open. Their thoughts are beginning to clear. And as they clear, as they continue, as they stay focused, as they don't give up and they want to know more, God helps them to know more. And the next thing you know, they realize that Jesus is real. Folks, think about this. How many times has the Lord been there right with you, but you didn't know that he was there? And then you went from that to having an experience with him and realizing, oh my goodness, I had an experience with God. God is real. And it just began to progress from that point. This show has always made a point of trying to help you to go further, to help you to see that there's more so that you can choose it. By saying, if you had an experience with God and it was life-changing, why leave it 5, 6, 7, 10, 15, 20 years ago that it happened? Why not have another one tomorrow? Why not have another one right now? These are the kind of things that we're trying to help you to ask yourselves, because what's the possibility everyone listening on the show that God is real to you. He's right there with you. You have been hearing him. You have been experiencing him. And maybe you didn't know it up to this particular point. But open your eyes. Let God begin to help you to see how real he is. And that you can experience him just like these men did, where you go from one point to another until God is actually real to you.
I've been busy over here.
You have.
I've been crushing boxes and mixing candies together. And I have a wonderful idea.
Yes.
I came up with an amazing idea. Okay, well, everybody knows about puffy Cheetos, Kit Kats, Rice Krispie candy bars. My favorites.
Right.
And you like them too. I've come up with a great idea. I think if somebody wants to send us treats, I mean, remember we had that See's candy from...
Yes, which is amazing.
I don't care what anybody says. To me, the best peanut brittle in the world is See's candy peanut brittle. Can't get enough of See's candy peanut brittle.
Pretty good.
It is. But I think what people... you know what I'd like to know? Well, everybody knows what we like. I think it's about time we shared. I think it's time for people to send us what they like.
Okay, that's interesting.
I mean, it won't cost much money because they can, you know, they can just stick it in a small padded envelope. And and most candy bars are between 3 to 5 ounces in size, which means if they put it in a padded envelope and seal it, it'll only cost them a first-class stamp in the envelope because it can go first-class mail up to 13 ounces,
okay,
which, by the way, is approximately 3 normal-sized candy bars.
Yeah.
Who else would know that but me, right?
Yeah, right.
So they can mail us a candy bar very cheaply.
Sure.
I want the next time you want to send something to the show, folks, send what is your favorite candy bar. Or your favorite bag of potato chips. I'd like to know. So like if someone says, hey, this is, like the Weaver kids. You know, or we haven't heard from the family in Wyoming. We haven't heard from...
yeah, that's right.
Business card Bob. We haven't heard from Florida Ed. We haven't heard from Barb and Sue, the kitchen countertop people.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a lot of people we haven't heard from. We haven't heard from the lady that's a vet tech in Hawaii. There's people all I'm trying to think. Roman. We haven't heard from Roman tonight.
Right.
You know, just the regulars.
We usually do hear from Roman a couple times.
What about the people that got all the animals down south? And then we haven't heard from the pasteurizer in Florida. What was his name? Dave? No. Mark? What's his name? The guy who does the Sunday school for kids in Florida who listen to the show.
Oh, Steve.
Steve. We haven't heard from Steve in a long time.
Or Stacy.
There's a lot of people we haven't heard from in a while.
Right.
But, I mean, I'd like to know what people's snacks are. Send us your favorite snack. Maybe you can convert us. I think it'd be kind of fun. And the address to the show or to send money to what she said. She didn't want her name mentioned. The puppy pot.
Puppy pot.
To help finance the puppy is P.O. Box 68. That's P.O. Box 68, Bixby. BIXBY, Oklahoma, 74008. And also, it's on the radio show's website contacts page, and I check the P.O. Box twice a week. We're talking about attention, concentration, focus. When... when you're driving to work and you're in commuter traffic, you're always on the lookout for the police and that person with road rage or the person that's going to cut in front of you. Because it's instinct. You've been doing it every day for so long, you just know. And also, if you take the same way to work every day and the same way home, or you walk, or if you're a kid and you walk to school the same way every day and you walk home, you see things on a daily basis and you see if they change. Maybe you watch a construction project slowly get done. And the key word is slowly get done. Or you notice someone's house is different, or a business has changed their sign. But you see something every day that even though it's so casual and so quick, it becomes familiar to you, and you think about it and you notice it. That same casual familiarity, that's the way a relationship with Christ is supposed to be like.
Yep.
It is supposed to be so common and so regular that it's the life that you lead. The reason it seems amazing, miraculous, miracles, once in a lifetime, a lottery ticket, hardly anybody ever gets to experience, the reason it's kept to such high regard and unattainable is because, well, it is unattainable and it is hard and it is like a lottery ticket and it's tough to achieve as long as you think it's so special and so different from you. We are born with a divine spark. We're created in the image of our Father. That doesn't sound special to me. It sounds like one in the same. So perhaps what you think is important, perhaps what you think is special, is really of the flesh and of the world. Because when you experience something on a regular basis, it becomes part of you. It defines who you are. And the definition of a child of God is someone whose prayers are answered. And think about this. The closer you are to grace, the less you pray, the less wants, the less needs you have. Because the majority of prayers and needs are about things that have to do with the flesh and of the world, which keeps us away. Our own thoughts, our own desires, our own lifestyles, our own wants and needs are what's really in our way.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the greatest sins.
Yeah, the things that we find ourselves making so important are the very things that stand in the way of God. Over here in John chapter 5, you know, I think of, and I'm just going to give you a little progression of thought here, but John said in his first chapter, he said that Jesus came to reveal or declare the Father. That's John 1:18. Well, in revealing or declaring the Father, what John is saying there is the job of Jesus was to show everybody what the Father looked like, how the Father talked, how the Father thought. Because when you get into the mindset of Jesus and think like he thinks, you see what he does, you hear what he says, you're in essence hearing the Father. You're seeing what the Father would do. You're able to identify with the Father's will. Jesus said so many times, and he made sure that it wasn't just one time in particular. He said, I didn't come here to do the will of my own, but the will of my Father who sent me. So Jesus was what? He obviously was very connected to the will of the Father because he came to do his will, not his own. Well, when I look at Jesus being the one to declare or introduce the world to the Father, I mean, think about it. The introduction to God didn't go well in the Old Testament. I mean, there were about, what, 20,000 people that died that were at the mountain with Moses out in the wilderness, and God just came down to say, hello, I want to see the people, consecrate them, and they did, and people that touched the mountain instantly died. Folks, this new covenant, thank God through Jesus, we have the ability to know him as a Father and to experience him firsthand. And so Jesus came to show us that's exactly his whole life was, is an experience with the Father. So we would not only know the Father, but then be able to emulate the experience that Jesus had. So I look over here and see in verse 19 of chapter 5, when Jesus had performed a miracle on an individual, and the disciples were given, excuse me, the Pharisees were giving him a hard time. In verse 19, it said, Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel." And there's other places, of course, over in John 12 and 49 and 4 and 50 that talk about that I don't say anything unless I hear the Father say it. So look at how connected Jesus was to the Father. So much so that he didn't articulate thought on his own. He articulated the Father's thought. He didn't perform actions and do things on his own, separate from the Father. He realized he couldn't function that way. He had to be connected to God at all times in order to function as the Savior of the world. So when we begin to think of that, I believe it really helps us maybe to fine-tune some of those attentions that we need, because we're so often distracted by the world. But what if we were to also do the things we saw our Father do and say the things we heard our Father say? What would it begin to do? Well, the first thing it would do is it would eliminate tons of drama. And immediately you'd begin to sense the presence and peace of God without all the senses going towards the drama of this life. Did you get a nice email over there or something?
Well, I did. I got a great email, but it's not on the radio show's email. It just popped up on my screen. It has nothing to do with the radio show.
Oh, okay.
And I never talk about anything unless it has to do with the radio show. But since you ask, I ordered a... we resurfaced all the roads on the ranch.
Right.
With this stupid stuff. They filled all the cracks, and then they sprayed this stuff all over the roads on the ranch. We have asphalt roads all over the ranch, which Jim likes because his car doesn't get dusty or dirty. But the problem is after they sprayed this stuff on, they says, "You know, when it gets snows and ice, you're not going to be able to scrape your roads anymore with your metal blades." And I go, "What?" "Well, that'll just scrape the patch and the protective coating off of the roadway." So I thought, how stupid is this? So there's a company in Reno, Nevada, who make polyurethane blades for plowing snow. They use them on airport runways, roads, you know, highways, so they don't tear up the concrete. And you bolt them onto your snowplow blades, and they're on the surface, so they protect the road from your snow removing equipment. Not that we get a lot of snow in Oklahoma, but when we do, I'm prepared. And that was a confirmation email that said they had one my size, and they shipped it. And it'll be here in Oklahoma before Christmas. And we don't have any snow in sight.
No, 70 degrees today.
Yeah, no snow in sight. But when we do have snow, I will be able to keep all the paved roads on the ranch clean and dry. Well, because people come in for hay and you know, to buy wood. Mm-hmm. So that's what that email was about, was... my snow plow. Okay. Oh, are you ready for this? They asked me how long my blade was. And I says, "What's the longest that you make?" 60 feet. Okay, now a semi-truck, an 18-wheeler, from front bumper of the driver's machine to the rear bumper of the trailer is 65 feet. So they make a polyurethane blade protector that's just 5 feet shorter than a semi-truck. Can you imagine the machine that's pushing that much snow?
Wow.
That they've got a blade the width of a tractor trailer rig?
Where would they use that? On a runway?
Airport runways. They got huge, big snowplow machines.
Wow.
I ordered a 72-inch. It's like going to the lumber yard and you want a wooden doorstop.
Yeah.
And everybody's buying pickup trucks full of lumber. I just want a wooden doorstop. I'll be fine with that. But they had one. Well, actually, they had to make it because apparently, you know. But so anyways, yeah, I'm just very excited to have it. And that's what that email was about. Folks, we need some emails. We need some text messages. Let us know you're out there listening. And let us know, we're at that time of the show where it's time to let us know about tonight's topic, what you think about paying attention and focus and how one of the problems that people have, that especially pastorizers who are full of themselves and religious organizations, they don't have with me, they don't have with Jim or the show, they have issues with me because I talk what they think is disrespectful, respectful, or irreverence about Christ and about the relationship. Well, have you noticed the parables and the stories and the activities of Jesus? There was no auditoriums, large buildings. It wasn't about a certain time of day or certain type of dress. I mean, honestly, if the guys were just to show up in your town this week, unfortunately, the majority of you would be considered a Pharisees with your amount of money, your material possessions, how you have the ability to focus and concentrate on maintaining such a life. I mean, think back to 2,000 years ago. There were people that had multi-room homes and closets full of clothes and free time on their hands and an abundance of things. But they didn't have much time for God, did they, Jim?
No.
But someone who worked from sunup until sundown to just put food on the table, who had no agenda, who had no pride, who had no lofty goals to achieve anything, but just to enjoy life and get through the day as unencumbered as possible. In other words, they had plenty of open heart and open mind to accept God into it. They weren't preoccupied. When someone's dying of cancer or they're upside down in an automobile or their airplane is halfway to the earth and it's going to crash, all of a sudden, everything is out the window and it's all about God. So don't think you don't have the skills or the tools or the ability to focus and to pay attention, to set things aside. You do.
Right, right.
We're all professional athletes at focusing and concentrating. So instead of trying to develop a skill or to squeeze out, or like you've got to lose 20 pounds and lift 200 pounds more to have a relationship with God, instead of trying to think about how to focus, perhaps ask yourself, what have you been focusing on? What's important to you? What have you been concentrating on? What are your last thoughts before you go to bed? What's the first thoughts when you wake up?
Right, right.
What's the worries of the day? And by the way, we're not supposed to worry about anything, are we? We're supposed to lay it all over in God's hands.
Right.
Let grace take care of it.
Yeah.
There are hints and direction all over Scripture, in book after book, chapter after chapter, verse after verse, that's telling us not to participate in the flesh in the world.
Right.
Don't let it get the upper hand.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, folks, ask yourself a very simple question. Are you in charge of your life, or is your life in charge of you? Who's making the decisions? You or the reality that you've created and you choose to live in? Who's got the power?
Yeah, the old saying, does the tail wag the dog or the dog wag the tail? I mean,
every day I wake up at a different time. Every day I go to bed at a different time. Sometimes I don't know what I'm going to eat until I'm hungry. And then I go to the store and buy it, or I just figure something out here at the ranch. Jim will attest to this. A lot of times, I have no idea what's going on in the ranch until it happens. I got plans, but Jim will tell you those plans barely work out. Things change minute by minute here at the ranch. I lead a very simple, fluid life. It's about opening your life and open up in your heart to allowing for grace to avail itself to us. Speaking of the ranch, you want to come to the ranch tomorrow in Splitwood?
Tomorrow wouldn't be good, but Thursday would.
What time?
Probably the morning till early afternoon.
What time in the morning?
10:30.
Till when? I got two ricks of oak that I need to split.
Probably till about 1:30. 10:30, 1:30.
I want to split the oak, and then I want to cut the logs to be exactly 12 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to sell some of that smaller wood like that.
Good.
Because then I need to get some hickory and some pecan in, because I've been selling a lot of hickory and pecan because of people wanting to smoke turkeys and meats for Christmas. Mm-hmm. We just got a text message. It says, "Hi, Jim and BJ. What do you guys think about vaccinations? My wife and I are expecting this spring, and with that, we have the regular doctor's appointments." That's all we got was Dr. APP. So if you wrote a lot more than Dr. APP, send another text message, because the text messages, if they're long, we only get part of it. Jim, you're a dad. I guess they're talking about vaccinations for babies or vaccinations for mom.
Right. No, for babies, I'm sure. But you know, I think it's at your own discretion what you think and what you want to do. I mean, I know I'm just talking about things as far as the knowledge here in this world, that a lot of my chiropractor friends that I know, they don't usually vaccinate. They don't believe in them. They think that there's possible more harm from those than if you didn't have it at all. I know most people have pretty much, just like standing in a soup line, just assume that they tell you got to get vaccinated, so you got to get vaccinated. Whoever thinks other than what they tell you. So that's just, you know, as far as thoughts like that in this world, I think you can research it, find out what you want to do. You know, again, this goes back to modern conveniences to try to do something at a young age so that you don't get certain things at older ages. And then that goes back to the whole idea of how real is grace to you? What can grace actually do for you? Should we really, you could say, subscribe to the idea that sickness and disease is possible in our future? So we've got to get vaccinated today. I think there's some real good questions that can be asked. I mean, I've got a vaccination spot on my arm, my left arm.
I never had that.
Yeah, from when I was younger, you know.
Never got one of those.
And but again, it's kind of how you're brought up, whether or not it's something that...
Wasn't that for polio?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah.
We just got a text that says, "Hello to everyone from Pasco, Washington." Is that not Roman?
It is.
Okay, I want to answer this text about vaccinations, and my wife is expecting this spring. Okay, this is my expert advice. Okay. I've dealt with a lot of pregnant moms. The first thing that I do is watch their weight, because they have a tendency to gain too much weight. They eat more than what's required. I like to keep an eye on their rear ends and their hips to make sure that they don't get too much weight because that just makes it harder during the birthing process. Also, I try to make sure that their bellies don't get too much hair on their stomachs. Clip it, keep the hair on their stomachs brushed and groomed so there's not a lot of cockle burrs. Also, pregnant moms, they don't move around a lot. They have a tendency to pick up ticks around the back of their ears. So I like to check the pregnant moms for ticks around their ears. And one thing you want to do for a pregnant mom is you want to keep them on a regular worming schedule. Make sure that their feet are kept clean. And their teeth, I like their teeth to be kept in good order because, you know, they're going to be eating quite a bit. Now, I just figure that what I said applies to horses. I'm assuming it applies to women. Perhaps this is a reason why I've never been married. But
yeah, maybe.
That's my advice on what to do for an expectant mom. We probably won't be getting any candy from that lady, will we?
No.
And since it's a text message, we have no idea who the happy couple are. Wonder if any. I'm sorry. I just found that to be very. Think anybody else found that amusing?
Oh, I think they picked up on it right away.
This just came in. Hello, Jim, BJ, and the Barn Cats, and anyone else with four legs. I like that. Well, there's the horses, and soon there will be Robin, the little chocolate lab puppy. I have been thinking this week about the idea of having a Bible study with other people looking for grace in their life. It is hard to find a group of like-minded people other than your show. So what do you think of having a live webinar group Bible study online with people who listen to the show? Webinar? Webinar? I don't know that word. Webinar. Do you know that word?
Yeah.
What is webinar?
I
don't know that word.
Yeah.
I think of having a live webinar group Bible study online with people who listen, he must meant, to the show. This is from Tony. Well, is this not what we're doing on Tuesday nights? Or does he mean something more smaller, more intimate? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Tony, why don't you just write the ministry and tell me what your thoughts are, and then I can answer you.
Well, hold on a second. I filed it away. Let me go back here. Hold on. Let me bring this up again. Okay, I'm going to forward this to you, Jim, because there's a bunch of numbers on the bottom, and they look like phone numbers to me. So I'm going to, hold on a second. I need to forward you this.
While you're doing that, let me say tomorrow night is the Hardesty Library at 7 o'clock. Yes,
okay.
7 to 8. Now tomorrow night will be the last Hardesty Library until the 6th of January. So the Hardesty Library will be closed on Wednesday the 23rd, and then Wednesday the 30th. So it'll be back on the 6th of January. So just letting you know, it'll be really good tomorrow night, and then we'll be off for 2 weeks before we get back together first of the year.
We got an email from Stovetop Sue. It says, we are cracking up over here in Morgan Hill, California. So.
Must be your description of a pregnant woman.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm excited for the folks that wrote in about their new child that's coming. That's really great. And
I wonder
really,
if it's their first.
I don't know, but really and truly just...
Did you give all your daughters shots and pregnant vaccinations and stuff?
Yeah, they got vaccinations when they were younger. I mean, I just think it's just up to your choice, how you see it. And I would say this, you know, back when we had our children, we weren't experiencing the kind of personal relationship that we are now where God is just that much more real. And half the time, one of the reasons why we don't seem to have as much problem is because we don't give into it. But Maybe that would have changed how I would have done things back then.
Now, I didn't get any immunizations when I was a kid. I don't have one of those circles on my arm. I've never had a cavity, not one cavity in my whole life. Never had measles, mumps, chicken pox as a kid. Never had any of those at all. I never get a cold. I never get the flu. One doctor surmises that it's because it's because I drink out of livestock tanks. He says I've been drinking out of livestock, you know, cattle tanks, horse right. tanks, hog waters. I've been drinking out of livestock tanks since I was a little kid. So he says my body has built up resistance to most kind of germs and bacteria because I've been, you know, I've been drinking like tainted water right. my whole life.
Huh.
And my philosophy was it can't be bad water because the animals drink it and they're fine.
Right.
You know, and when I was a little kid, somebody'd say, you can't drink that water. And I'd say, well, the cows drink it. And we milk the cows, and milk is mostly made up of water. So it makes no sense to me that this water isn't any good to drink. And then they would just look at me and they'd say, how can a little kid say something like that? How does his mind work that he would, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's his rebuttal. But
and the idea that you didn't pay attention to them putting fear in you has a lot to do with the reason why it wouldn't bother you.
I know. Fear is, it's funny that you should mention the word fear because fear is an amazing power that we create in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this time of year, somebody may be having the family over.
Right.
For some type of a meal or mm-hmm. party or something, and they want to make some special recipes that they've seen on TV or on the internet, and they have fear that they'll wreck it, they won't turn out right.
Sure.
Or fear that, I mean, we really empower ourselves with fraidy cat fear.
Sure.
Fear of the unknown is... It has killed more dreams, more wonderful moments in people's lives than I think anything else.
Sure, I think so too.
And I think that when somebody says focus, concentrate on God, on grace, let go of this, which we say disregard this. I think some people might be afraid because they think they don't know how.
Yeah, I think the whole idea of fear is what stops people from asking questions. They want to hide in their place of comfort, even if it's not good. I mean, I see that with ministers. You know, they're afraid to talk about things that they don't know because then they have to admit that they're wrong.
Well,
they're afraid of venturing out to experience something better. Because they develop the idea that they already know it all.
Well, you know, I have conversations about Catholicism, you know,
mm-hmm.
with a big cheese on a regular basis, you mm-hmm. know that. Mm-hmm. And he says all the time how so many of his colleagues underneath him are fearful of our conversations because it's strange to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since I'm not, I guess, what you would you say, religiously educated?
Orthodox, you know, a whole bit.
Yeah, I'm not Orthodox.
No, I know.
No. I'm a horseman.
Yep.
We got an email here. It says, web and seminar together of about 12 people, live video feed. Oh, you're not going to believe what Tony does for a job. He's a psychotherapist. He's probably thinking to himself, if I ever make it to Oklahoma, I'm going to take a bucket of pills and that cowboy's going to be seeing a whole team of psychotherapists.
You know, straighten you out, isn't he?
Yeah. The fact that he listens to this show.
Yeah. That's right.
It says something about what he does for a living. I like that. Okay, here we go. These people sent a text message. the people that sent they sent an email. It says, "Hi, Jim and BJ. Right. What do you guys think about vaccinations? My wife and I are expecting a spring, and that we have the regular doctor appointment every so many weeks. One thing they've been doing is pressuring us on vaccinating my wife and the baby with just about every possible thing there is out there, or so it feels. Now, I'm not trying to say they're good or bad, but truthfully, we're really not worried about it. We believe with all our heart that God is fully capable of keeping us and the baby healthy. Not looking for you to make a decision for us, just want to hear your opinion. As always, we love the show. Thank you guys for what you do. Julian and Patricia."
We'll see what
It says. "P.S. Sorry, our text didn't go through before. By the way, BJ, the wife found your opinion hilarious, so I guess that'll do. And it's our first."
Yeah, well, just even the greater information that they give. Look at how relaxed they are. They're not even really considering anything. Shows you that their energy or their thoughts, their feelings, their emotions have nothing to do with this fear that's being created by the doctors. Which is to say, what? Well, then why have it?
That's true. Well, a lot of people bring me their first mothers to birth here at the ranch. One thing that you might want to do, Julian, is one thing that I subscribe to is at least 30 days before the due date, I pin up the moms so they get used to the area that they're going to be in when they have the child.
Uh-huh.
And really watch the amount of food they get. And then one more check for worms, and keep an eye out for ticks, and keep them penned up for at least 3 to 4 weeks before the due date. And you can always tell when the due date's coming because they lay down on the floor like they're going to make a nest, and then they get up, and then they lay back down, and they're just not themselves. And you really just, you know, they get cranky. And so, and I don't put up with it. If I get a mom that's about due and the baby's about ready to pop on out of the oven and they start getting cranky, well, I just take a cold cloth of cool water and I just go up and I just rub it all in their face. And so, Julian, my recommendation is if Patricia gets out of hand during this pregnancy, just get a towel, get it full of cold water. And when she least expects it, just rub it all over in her face.
That's not going to go over really, really well, BJ.
No, but you know what? I bet it went over big time in Morgan Hill, California.
Yeah. They might be enjoying it just a little bit. Hey, you know, talking about this casual relationship with God and this focus and all, I wanted to read here how that Jesus, over in Luke chapter 5, 27, it's just a King James or New King James, and you guys know this passage here, but let me just read it quickly. It says, "After these things, he, Jesus, went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, 'Follow me.' So he left all, rose up, and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house. And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who had sat down with them. And their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?' And Jesus answered and said, 'Those who are well have no need of physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" It's very interesting when you think of this part of this casual relationship where the more formal you make it, most likely the more distanced you become from Jesus. Think about the reason why he could actually be comfortable around sinners and tax collectors. It's because they were open to repentance, where the Pharisees weren't open to repentance. There was a humility about the tax collector and sinner, or an intuition about them that they wanted to know things. But the Pharisee didn't. And I think it's very interesting that we surround ourselves so often with, and this is really true of my life, BJ, really. I mean, I grew up, I was 4 years of age when I got saved, and I grew up in the church world all my life. And, I mean, I remember going to Newark Beth Israel Medical Center and working there for a year after college, And it opened my eyes quite a bit to all kinds of different experiences in people's lives, the way that they lived and different scenarios, the way that they talked, the way that they thought. It was a whole different world to me. And still to this day, I'm somewhat sheltered from a lot of that because that's not necessarily been a part of how I grew up. So my world has been surrounded by more of the Pharisaical type of thought process. The more proud, I know everything, religious idea. And it's very refreshing to get around people that don't have that. I think it's interesting that Jesus he found himself rebuking the Pharisee, but he was able to get along with the sinner.
That we got a homework assignment. I just came up with a homework assignment.
Okay.
We haven't had a homework assignment in quite a while, actually a month or so or longer. So we have a homework assignment. If you're a new listener to the show, every once in a while we come up with some real great, bright idea for a homework assignment. This is this week's homework assignment. Tonight we talked about concentration, focus, paying attention. What I'd like you to do for the next 7 days is to take a piece of paper and a pencil and don't share it with your partner. Just keep it to yourself until next Tuesday night, and we'll talk about it a little bit on the next show. You're going to be here, right? Next Tuesday night?
I'll be in Idaho, but we'll be Skyping.
Skyping, that's right. So we'll have a live show. Jim will be Skyping, but it'll be a live show, not pre-recorded. I want you to keep track of what you realize you're focused on. Is it a song on the radio, a television show, a grocery list, a shopping list? I want you to think tomorrow and every day, just for 7 days, catch yourself being focused, being fixated on one subject or topic. Catch yourself at it. Because once you realize how easy it is for you to become habitually focused, fixated, concentrating on something without any effort at all, then you can say, well, next time, I'm going to start thinking about Christ and grace.
Good.
Because you're going to get rid of old habits of worldly thoughts and have Christ-like heavenly thoughts.
Yeah, that's good. It's real good.
And remember, the address to the radio show is on the contacts page on the Abiding Presence website. And somebody wanted the address. They wanted to help participate in the support of getting Robin, the chocolate lab puppy.
Hey, I have one more scripture to read that supports what you just said.
Okay.
Colossians 3:1, Barclay translation says, "If then you have been raised to life with Christ, your heart must be set on that great realities of the heavenly sphere, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Your constant concern must be with heavenly realities, not with worldly trivialities." Pretty good. It's just exactly what you said.
And where was that?
Colossians 3:1.
We got an email that came in 3 minutes ago. It says, "Hi, Jim." It says, "Hi, BJ and Jim. Great show tonight. Thank you. I believe that we all have a choice in what we choose to focus on. So if we aren't experiencing grace, it is because we have chosen to focus on other stuff." It's a very good point. And then it says, "BJ, I have a question for you. Why do you pick female chocolate Labrador retrievers over male chocolate labs?"
I know that one.
You do?
Yeah.
What is it? What's the answer?
It's because the boys always reserve a little bit of extra fluid in them so that they can mark their territory, but a girl will empty her tanks and it's over with.
It has a lot to do with dogs going to the bathroom. It's so much easier to just let a dog out of the cab of the tractor, to stop the lawnmower, let the dog off, to open up a door, to pull over to the side of the road and let a female dog out. And they really don't sniff a lot. They just want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Just do their business and go. So it's quicker. A male dog wants to casually walk around and squirt and sprinkle the whole world. That's one reason. Another reason why I like female dogs is my first one was a female. And it went really well. And I'm a creature of habit like everybody else. My first chocolate lab lived to be 12 and a half. Her name was Rose. My second chocolate lab, who I just lost, as you well know, her name was Ranger. And now I'm going to be, I have pick of the litter. We're going to be driving 6 hours into Missouri. And that puppy's name is going to be Robin. And so, just me. I don't really have any other really high-tech things to say about it than that. And we got another email that came in here. It says, we didn't vaccinate because of the research we did on the scientific studies. Our boys just blow through colds in a day, the odd year when they have one. I am a psychotherapist on paper only. I am more like a tow truck driver that takes people back to the manufacturer and he fixes them up. Using faith healing has prevented me from joining the system of getting paid from insurance companies, and I was even asked to leave the Healing Rooms ministry. Do you know what that is? I don't know either. So I am starting a healing ministry and have just over 200 on my email list. I have begun a series on faith healing. The first step I am teaching is to stop asking for healing because it is an act of disbelief that you are already healed. This is from Tony, the psychotherapist. Well, let me check one more time, refresh the screen. I think we're all caught up on emails. We're all caught up on text messages. Takes me about 10 or 12 minutes to record the show and get it up and streaming.
Okay.
And you'll be hearing last week's show until then. Thanks for all the candy and all the help with Robin. Very thoughtful. The address is on the show's website. Jim will be at the Hardesty Library tomorrow night at 7 o'clock.
Right. Well, everyone, thanks so much for joining us again. We're really thrilled that you're with us. And if you get a chance and you really love the show, why don't you spread the word? Let people know they can tune in at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time Tuesday night. By all means, practice God's presence all day long. I know there's things on your mind. There's jobs, there's duties, there's things that you do on a regular basis. Some days may be a little bit worse than others. But keep God right there with you, where your thoughts and your focus and the feelings of your heart are for Him at all times. And let that experience, like we talked about tonight on the Emmaus Road, go from knowing that He's there to beginning to see Him, experience Him, and know how good He is. We'll see you next time. Thanks.